ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bozeman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and I saw a strong angel coming down out of heaven, arrayed with a cloud, and the rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. It is written, he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left upon the earth. It is written, he swore by him that liveth for ever and ever, who created the heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are therein, and the sea and the things that are in, that time should be no more.
For God is just a prayer away.
And the voice which I heard from heaven, I heard it again speaking with me and saying, go, take the book which is open in the hand of the angel that standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel, saying unto him, that he should give me the little book. And he saith unto me, take it, and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but in thy mouth it shall be sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand, and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And when I had eaten it, my belly was made bitter. Oh, precious is the book divine, by inspiration given. Bright as a lamp, its precepts shine to guide our souls to heaven. It sweetly cheers our drooping hearts in this dark vale of tears. Life, light, and joy it still imparts, and quells our rising fears. This lamp, through all the tedious night of life, shall guide our way, till we behold the clearer light of that eternal day. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away.
For God is just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message from Revelation chapter 10, the little book. In the 10th chapter of Revelation, John says, he saw a mighty angel coming down out of heaven. He was arrayed with a cloud. A rainbow was on his head. His face shone as the sun, and his feet were like pillars of fire. In his right hand he held a little book. A little book that was open, wide open. This little book will be referred to seven times in 11 verses. His voice was as a lion when it roareth, and when he sounded off, seven thunders uttered their voices. John started to write down what the seven thunders said, but a voice from heaven told him to seal it up and write not what the seven thunders uttered. Then the angel put his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the earth. And with his right hand lifted up, he swore that time should no longer be. Then the voice that John heard from heaven told him to go to the angel and tell that angel to give him the little book. John went and told him, and the angel told him to take it and eat it, and the eating would be sweet in his mouth and bitter in his belly. So this is the story of the little book. It is indeed the New Testament, even if you do not agree from a prophetic standpoint. You'll have to agree that the things we will say about the little book are indeed true. For one thing, the little book in the hand of the angel was brought down from heaven. That is the origin of the Word of God. It is from heaven. Peter said, "Holy men from of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." And Paul said that all Scripture was inspired of God and profitable. The New Testament is a heaven-sent book. It is the only book ever given to man that is the authentic revelation of Jesus Christ, and a book that tells us what God says we must do to go to heaven. Then, too, note that the book that was opened is a little book. The New Testament is a little book, and some copies can be bought for a few cents. Some copies are so small that it can be carried comfortably in the shirt pocket. The New Testament is indeed a little book. Note also how the little book is opened. Open on land and sea. The angel stood with one foot on the land and one foot on the sea. Has there ever been a book like the New Testament that is open everywhere? Open on land and sea. No book can compare with the Bible. When you consider that it has been translated into hundreds of languages and dialects, it is an open book. Think again how that little book was opened, regardless of the lifestyle of the people. At the close of the previous chapter, we are told that men repented not of their fornications, murders, adulteries, sorceries, and thefts. No matter what the lifestyle of people will be in the last days, the little book will always be opened. The New Testament is opened and preached today as never before in this permissive society. This broadcast can be heard today everywhere on this planet. This little book will be opened until the end of the world. When the angel stands with his foot on the sea and the earth, the little book is still open as he declares, "Time shall be no more." Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." And Peter said, "All flesh is as grass, and the pride thereof, as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower falleth. But the word of God abideth forever." And this is the word of good tidings that was preached unto you. Now, there are three things John will tell us about the little book. First, we note that the voice from heaven told John, "Take the book." John told the angel, "Give me the book." And the angel told John, "Eat the book." Take the book. Give me the book. Eat the book. First, we take the book. The voice that John heard from heaven, he heard again saying unto him that he should go and take the book that is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the earth and the sea. Ladies and gentlemen, that's good personal advice for every one of us. Go and take the book. The only way we can ever find time for the book is to take it. The devil will so order your life that you will not have time for the book. So take it. The song says, "Take time to be holy." If you don't take time, you won't get time. Take the book into the pulpit also. Take it. Notice how the apostles took the book into the pulpit. The book of Acts is a book of preaching. Consider the first gospel sermon by the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost in the second chapter of Acts. It takes 25 verses to record that sermon. About 13 of those verses are where Peter is quoting Scripture. Quoting Scripture is apostolic. Half of the sermon was Scripture. This sermon is not an exception. In the book of Acts, the 7th chapter of the book of Acts, has a sermon of Stephen. That sermon has 53 verses, And of the 53 verses, 50 of them is where Stephen is using Scripture. While he did not quote by and large, he did paraphrase. He told the scriptural story. He only had 3 verses of his own preaching. Take the book into the pulpit. The apostles and early preachers used the book, little book, when they preached. Take the book. Take it to those who are still walking in darkness. You know, most of us preachers spend most of our time preaching to the saved, preaching to the choir, as it were. We need to take it to the lost. We need to take the book out to the world because the lunatics are running the asylum. Take the book. And now, secondly, consider that John told the angel, "Give me the book." John went to the angel who had the little book open in his hand and said, "Give me the book." That is the wish of the people who are starving for the Word of God. They do not say, "Give me the works of the philosophers. Give me the news." They are hungering for the Word. My dad long ago gave me a book at an early age. As a child, he told me to read aloud out of the family Bible, the family-sized Bible, while he followed in another. I remember reading the whole Bible through eventually as a child. The stories were pressed into my mind indelibly. I remember walking down the alley one time and seeing a neighbor boy in the yard. I called him over the fence and said to him, "Hey, do you know the names of the 12 sons of Jacob?" He said he didn't. He probably thought Jacob was one of the neighbors. I recited them for him. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, Benjamin. I knew those names as a child. Some might say, "Oh, that's too much to expect from a child. That's child abuse." Well, just ask the average child today to name some of the characters from, shall we say, Star Wars. And they have no difficulty rattling off all the names. As I look back on it, I now realize as a child, I was very interested in Star Wars before it was made popular later on. You see, I had learned from reading Revelation 12 about a great red dragon cast out of heaven. And when he was cast out, he took 1/3 of the stars with him. Those stars were some of the morning stars that sang together and shouted for joy when God laid the foundations of the earth. Those stars, as Jude tells us, are now kept in chains of darkness unto the judgment of that great day. Now that is a real Star Wars story. Give me the book. There was a well-known journalist years ago who said he never went to a church service because no man can speak as often as a preacher does and have anything important to say. There's some truth in that. Stand-up comics can't speak to the same audience week after week and night after night and have anything interesting to say on their own hook. Those people have writers to help them with their material. Without writers, they could not succeed. Yet a preacher has to speak to the same people week after week, month after month, sometimes 3 and 4 times a week. There's no way he can do it unless he has writers. A preacher must have a ghost writer. Holy Ghost, the author of the Word of God, is his writer. Whenever a preacher uses the Bible, no matter how many times he speaks to the same people each week, He will always have something important to say. Give me the book. I've heard it for many years from many preachers, but it needs repeating. Sir Walter Scott, a great historical novelist, on his deathbed, called for someone to bring him the book. They said, "Which book?" Sir Walter Scott said, "There's only one book. Bring me the book." Some may note that we spend little time on this broadcast in the social ills of the day. Racism, abortion, drugs, drunkenness, and others. The reason for this is because these things are only limbs on the devil's sin tree. Actually, the roots of all these problems are the same roots. Lust, envy, hatred, jealousy, greed, selfishness, pride. And the gospel is the only thing that can cut the roots of the sin tree. Give me the book. One missionary states that in some parts of India, there is an average of 5 rats in every home. Rats eat 20% of the grain and cannot be killed because they believe the dead come back to life in other forms. To kill a rat means they may be killing a former relative. So the starving of these folk is a spiritual problem. If you could stand with a native and look at a cow grazing on the hillside and muse and wonder, how many standing rib roasts are in that beast? How many succulent hamburgers could we get out of that cow? How many ribeyes could we obtain? The native standing there with hollow eyes and emaciated skeleton would say, "Holy cow! Take the book. Give me the book." And now, thirdly, eat the book. The angel had a little book opened in his hand, and he gave it to John with these instructions: "Take it and eat it." He did not say read it. He said eat it. "When you eat that book, it will be sweet," he said, "in your mouth and bitter in your belly." John did as he was told. He ate the book. And it was sweet in his mouth. It tasted better than any strawberry shortcut cake he could ever have eaten. It tasted better than any chocolate bar he had ever enjoyed. It was sweet in his mouth. But as soon as he ate it, he got a bad case of heartburn. It was bitter in his belly. John's experience is duplicated many times in life today. It was Peter who said, "If ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Well, on the day of Pentecost, the day the church was born, the sermon that day accused the audience of killing the Lord. That accusation can be repeated to any audience living in the world today. We have killed Jesus Christ. We all had a hand in the crucifixion. Christ died for our sins. In their agony of conviction, they cried out, "What must we do?" And it must have tasted very sweet in their mouth when they tasted how the Lord was gracious. When Peter said, "Repent ye, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The preacher today knows that to preach that message will be a bitter experience, no matter how sweet it is in his mouth. It will be bitter in his belly. People don't want to hear it. So the preacher gets up and burps out a sour message, a message full of the bile of compromise. Isaiah has a statement that speaks to the situation when he says, "Go and write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, See not, and to the prophets, Prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Isaiah 30. The message today must be as smooth as silk. The modern-day preacher must be inspirational. Never, never, never use any part of the Word of God that, as Paul would say, reproves or rebukes or in any way indicates the need of repentance. The message must be smooth. Isaiah again comes to mind when he says, Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice as a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. The preaching situation today is described very well from a physician in India who listens to this broadcast and who writes. And I want to read what this doctor said about preaching today. Quote, I listen to your program every Sunday over Radio Sri Lanka, All Asian Service, and find your messages deeply satisfying. I can still remember the time when pulpit preaching was all hellfire and brimstone, but now it is all love and forgiveness, no matter what one does or thinks. Your messages speak of both the goodness and the severity of God. So relevant in our day of partial Christianity. Unquote. And so the preaching of the gospel today must be a bittersweet experience. It is true the message may be sweet, but translating the message into a saving message for the lost has embittered many a servant of God. But as John stood there with a bitter belly, he got no relief for his heartburn. He was told to preach it anyway. The angel said, Thou must preach, prophesy again over many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. And the same thing goes for us. Take the book. Give me the book. Eat the book. Wonderful book called the Bible. Guide of my feet day by day. Guidebook to lead me to heaven. Lamp of my feet all the way. First, the Old Testament scriptures tell how the prophets foretold how Jesus would come to redeem us. And that story will never grow old. Read then the Gospel of Matthew. Mark, Luke, and John tell us too how Jesus came to redeem us and give us all life anew. Read then the plan of salvation. Acts of Apostles will show. It is the book of conversions. Read it and you will know. 21 letters will follow, showing us all how to live, adding to faith, Christian virtue, faithfulness then we can give. Last of all comes Revelation, telling of heaven so fair, how we will meet the dear Savior, together his heaven to share. So open the Bible and read it. Ponder its message so true. You'll find the great plan of salvation. Why Jesus died for you. You've been listening to another God Is Just Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at this same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. So praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Until next week at this same time, don't forget, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.
For God is just a prayer.